Welcome to Deep Dark November, when the snow falls everywhere else than here, and the rain comes down in buckets on panicking Angelinos, and all the A-list celebrities come out to host special private screenings for Oscar voters, and the little people hold umbrellas for all of them, and there are private screenings for Oscar voters and campaigns for little statuettes. Here in my home studio, I am campaigning for a different purpose. Two purposes, actually. I, of course, continue to campaign for truth in Hollywood through the questions that you send in to me. I take your questions on what really goes on behind the scenes, the lives of celebrities, and I answer them. And right now, I'm also on a second campaign to get people to buy the second edition of my book, The Celebrity Playbook, a compendium of all the deepest, darkest, occultist secrets I've gathered about celebrity life over the years, and I will be giving away two copies of that book on this edition of my show. Plus, later on, what to consider when enjoying your Oscar season, namely that every Oscar campaign you see going on right now probably costs millions of dollars, and ergo, that the statuettes that will be given out in a few months are bought and paid for. Plus, if we have time, I just might start a new segment called "Oh Dear God, Kristen Stewart, What the Hell Are You Talking About Now?" With me this week via Skype is Baby Vegas. Baby Vegas, how are you?
Oh dear God, please let there be time. I want to hear this new segment.
All right, great. Well, then that will happen. I don't have a cage match for you this week. I have a semi-quasi secondhand blind item that we're going to get to later in the show as well. In the meantime, let's give away the first copy of the Celebrity Playbook to a listener who has asked me a question.
Ooh.
Go for it.
All right, Leslie Ann Huddle asks.
I think it's an IE, son.
Oh, sorry. Leslie Ann Hootie.
Are you wearing your glasses?
I'm not.
Oh, God.
Well,
we
Leslie
are so
Ann asks,
semi-professional here on this show. Okay, go ahead.
Maybe there was a smudge on my screen. Well, Leslie Ann asks via Facebook.
What?
Is getting a bank account the same when you are a celeb?
No. No, it is not. No.
I'm not going to bump into them at Chase.
No, no, no. Celebrities and rich people do not set foot in banks once they're established.
Oh.
That's actually a quote from a celebrity CPA, Andrew Blackman. Open quote, "My clients never walk into a bank," close quote. He says they can open an account like anybody else, but all paperwork comes through my office. Now, here are some details. Celebrities do need proof of ID, just like you do when you go and open your little safety account, your little guaranteed credit card there.
Right. Little being the operative word.
Right. And you need the same proofs of ID and the same social security and the same driver's license, whatever banks require these days. But it's never done at the bank. You go into your CPA's office, or the CPA comes to you, gets all the paperwork, two forms of ID, yada, yada. The other thing that most celebrities do when they open a bank account is they allow people like Blackman to be signatories on their account. Why do they do this? Because a celebrity, if they don't want to, never ever has to see a bank statement in his or her life. The way it works is celebrity opens a bank account with the help of, say, Andrew Blackman. And then Andrew Blackman becomes a co-signator on that account. That doesn't mean that the account's in his name. It's only in the celebrity's name. And the bank account actually is in the celebrity's name. It will say Brad Pitt on it, for example. But when it's time for a bank statement to come around, the bank statement will be sent to Brad Pitt, care of Andrew Blackman, CPA, at Andrew Blackman's office. Now, I'm not saying that Brad Pitt is a client of Andrew Blackman. I'm just using that as an example. But that's another way that celebrities do not get bank accounts like normal people. Want to know how else they don't use bank accounts like normal people?
Please.
All right. Suppose a celebrity wants cash.
Uh-huh.
All right. Let's just suppose, you know, and it's more than they can get than they want out of an ATM. Let's suppose they want 10 grand. They call up Blackman and they say, "I want 10 grand for my account." And somebody from Blackman's office comes around with a big old fat stack and meets him at a corner or something.
Wow.
Open quote, "I have gone and cashed checks for celebrities and delivered money to them," Blackman says, "as in handing money through the door and the smoke comes wafting out of the car, and I've had those kinds of clients." And I said, "You mean cigarette smoke?" And he says, no, I do not mean cigarette smoke. So, yeah, like, if you're a celebrity, you'll be just like, meet me at the corner of 3rd and Bonnie Bry and with my money. And some underling will do that. They will go to wherever you are and you can, you know, roll down your window with your little button.
Man.
And somebody will hand you your cash and off you go. Well, why do people do this? Why do celebrities do this? Well, let me talk to Andrew Blackman again. Open quote. I have delivered $10,000, $15,000 to someone specifically at this time of year. They want to give out Christmas presents.
Man, to yes. be friends with a celebrity.
Especially at, say, co-ops in New York, the doorman, everybody, and get this, everybody, if you're a celebrity, all those little people like the doorman, everybody gets $1,000. Yeah. So, quote unquote, I'm going through this right now with some of my clients. What cash do I have to get to people for this sort of thing? Close quote.
Wow.
Yes. Now, sometimes there will be accounts that celebrities have that are not in their names. They're in a trust name. Mm. So it'll be like, you know, Sis Boom Bah Ha Ha, You Don't Know Who I Am, LLC, or whatever. Now that, though, is only for, say, real estate purposes. Like if celebrities are buying and selling houses or they have expenses associated with those houses.
Right.
They will do all that through like a real estate trust account. But if it's like Leslie Gornstein, mm-hmm. it'll just say Leslie Gornstein under my account. But I probably, if I'm a big star, I'm not going over the nickel and diming every month of my bank account.
Right.
Someone else is doing that for me. And that someone else is entrusted to find things like theft. Mm. They're known for tracking down, say, charges that the celebrity didn't authorize. As a matter of fact, don't be surprised if a celebrity never ever finds those things out, because what happens is the Blackmans of the world mm-hmm. get a hold of a celebrity's monthly statement and they look at a couple things that don't look right and they call the bank and say, this wasn't us. And the bank says, oh, I'm so sorry. And then it's all taken care of. And that's it.
Must be nice.
Yeah. So no, in no way is getting a bank account the same when you're a celebrity.
Wow.
No.
Just another thing they don't have to worry their pretty little heads about.
No. What?
So may I ask, does that mean that they obviously carry around credit cards and whatnot, though?
They do. But when they pay for things with those credit cards, assuming they have to pay for it, which we've been through that.
Yeah.
Lots of times the etiquette is thus. Let's say that the celebrity goes out to eat at a restaurant.
Right.
And they're there with an assistant and a bunch of other people. If the celebrity is paying, uh-huh. I have heard this happen. I've heard of this happening. Celebrity will hand the credit card to the assistant who hands the credit card to the server.
Oh.
Yeah. So not even paying for something is the same when you're a celebrity.
Wow.
Assuming that you pay for something. So, and by the way, the reason why Leslie Ann is asking the question in the format that it's in mm-hmm. is because that's the nature of my current book giveaway. Do you want to win a free copy of my book? Not you, JJ. You don't get a free copy of my book. But do you listening want to get a free copy of my book? Send me a message on my Facebook page, which is via the Femme Fatale Facebook page. And ask me any question in that format. Is fill in the blank the same when you're a celebrity? If I answer your question, you get a free copy of my book.
I love it.
I will be messaging Leslie Ann sometime this week to get that address. Because Leslie Ann is getting a free copy of my book. Know who else is getting a free copy of my book?
Who?
The next listener.
All right.
Go ahead.
You know what? Let's ask Leslie Ann and the next listener, take a picture with this book once you receive it and post it on your page.
Oh my God, you're so social media savvy.
Aren't I?
I just love the young people.
Tweet it.
I just love what the young people can do for me. Instagram that shit.
We want that 3 at least. Please, Leslie Ann.
Yes.
Great.
Oh, by the way, I found out some other interesting facts, and people were writing and complaining that that there was no UK Kindle edition of my book.
Yeah.
Not true. A loyal listener has found that link and has posted it as a comment on my website, www.thefamefatale.com. Just in case you have trouble finding it, I'm going to repost it in the push post to today's episode.
Is it on Amazon or some secret British digital book?
I don't know if it's on Pip Amazon or whatever the equivalent, you know, British Amazon is, or if it's just Amazon UK. It's a link. That's all they need to know.
Great.
So who is the next listener?
All right. The next winner is Laura Zimmerman Van Villette.
What?
And she asks via Facebook,
what
is driving in traffic, for instance, on California gridlocked interstates, the same for celebrities?
One guess.
No,
it is not. First thing you should know. Mm-hmm. If a celebrity is working, if they are driving to or from work, they're probably not driving.
Oh.
A driver is probably driving them to make sure that they get to the set on time. So first thing first, they're not behind the wheel if they're sitting in traffic. Secondly, lots of times a star does get around traffic. And that, no, I think part of this question was, can they use the HOV lanes if there's only one person in the car? No, they can't do that. But they don't have to. Because this is a sneaky little thing that celebrities get all the time, especially when they're coming to and from airports. They get a police escort with the sirens going, which cuts through traffic for them for reasons no one's really clear.
Right.
Directly from my book, in Washington, D.C. alone, roughly 17 celebrities have enjoyed police escorts, which, by the way, are not kosher. They're not regulation, but cops do it anyway, such as Justin Timberlake, Taylor Swift, Jay-Z, Christina Aguilera. Also on that list, Charlie Sheen, who once had the balls to tweet, quote, in car with police escort in front and rear, driving like someone's about to deliver a baby, cop car lights spinning.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
May I ask
why they do this?
Have we ever heard of, like, cops getting payoffs or something from celebs?
Well, we don't know whether they're getting payoffs, but they definitely are getting investigated for it in Opa-locka, Florida.
Oh.
Just this past January, an official told the media that three Florida cops have been suspended for giving Justin Bieber an unauthorized escort from the airport.
Oh.
Just so he wouldn't have to deal with, you know, traffic, paparazzi cars, whatever. Officers were suspended with pay, pending the outcome of the investigation. Now, you're right to wonder whether somebody slipped them each one of those $1,000 payoffs that we talked about earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have any proof of that. I can neither confirm nor deny. I have no idea.
Mm.
Yes. So, it gets better.
Please.
Okay. Remember when there was that 5150? The Britney 5150? When Britney had to, was taken to a mental lockdown.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, when that happened, when Britney needed an escort to the hospital, one early Thursday morning, there were at least a dozen LAPD motorcycles and squad cars, as well as a helicopter, plus the special mental health unit and the ambulance.
Again.
And if you're wondering whether that was excessive, yes, it was. I actually reached out to a law professor when that happened at UCLA who studied law enforcement budgeting. And he said, it seems like a lot unless the reporters were armed. I don't know what the security situation was, but based on paparazzi I've seen, usually four police officers with guns will take care of it. In terms of equipment repairs and possible overtime and whether they had to do overtime, I would guess the escort cost well over 10 grand.
My God.
And by the way, if you're wondering what's the big deal, Blasi sums it up like this. Gary Blasi, a law professor at UCLA, he says, I wouldn't second guess the tactical needs of the police, but I hope if any of my friends need emergency transport, they can get the same service.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's hope so.
So no, being in traffic is not the same when you're a celebrity. In fact, sometimes you're not in traffic at all. Did you just read, there was a recent profile of Billy Joel in the New Yorker.
Oh, yes. No, yeah. I did not.
And he lives in Oyster Bay, I think on Long Island, I think is where he lives. And he does a regular residency at Madison Square Garden in New York City.
Oh.
And he does them once a month. And he gets there via chopper.
Oh, mega.
Yeah, he choppers from his backyard helipad to a helipad at the garden and back. So he does his gig. He does a 5-song encore. He walks off the stage, and within a half hour, he's home.
Wow.
Yeah, he choppers it.
Must be like Must be nice.
It must be nice. So, no, there is no traffic when you're a celebrity. That doesn't mean that celebrities don't ever get stuck in traffic. Of course they do. Right. But there are ways that they get around it, and they abuse the system all the time.
So, do you think potentially this is something that they obviously have to ask for? The cops aren't just suddenly like, Britney Spears needs help.
Right. Yeah, they may reach out. I think that an assistant may reach out, or somebody hears that somebody's coming, and before you know it, the cops just show up. I wouldn't also be surprised if the cops were starstruck and they all wanted to meet him, you know? Yeah. So, no, nothing is the same when you're a celebrity. Nothing is the same. I have been getting so many questions from you guys, all hoping to get a free book. I know that's all you want. I know that's all you want. But the questions are really good, and I'm going to keep on answering them because they're good questions. Now, I've got a little special segment here. Little special Oscar season segment. It's Oscar season.
Oh, tis.
It tis Oscar season. All the stars are being trotted out in their suits and their pretty borrowed clothes to host special screenings of movies just for Oscar voters in hopes of getting nominated. Happens all the time right about now. And if you know that the stars are all in their clothes that are being given to them by stylists, and they're being trotted out to do this, it's Oscar season.
That's so, right. I've already been to two.
You have? Oh, did you have them at that fancy what do you call it?
The Soho House.
Did you have it at the fancy ass Soho House?
Yes, I've seen A Most Violent Year and Cake.
And what were the celebrities doing when they were there? Explain to my listeners what one of these screenings is like.
Well, let's see. For A Most Violent Year, she was mugging for the cameras.
Who's she? Come on now.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. She is Jessica Chastain.
Right.
And, you know, her publicist was buzzing around her, and she was shaking hands and smiling at, like, who knows how important all these people were. Jennifer Aniston was doing the same thing. Neither of them was taking photos. I did hear, however, that another friend of mine went to another screening of A Most Violent Year, and he got a photo with Jessica Chastain, and her publicist was like, oh, I don't know. She has to catch a plane. And Jessica Chastain herself was like, don't listen to her. Get over here. And chatted my friend up for like a good couple of minutes and took a nice like face-to-face photo with him. It was very sweet.
That's probably because Jessica Chastain is supposed to be dedicating most of her promotion time right now to Interstellar and not to Most Violent Year. So there may actually have been a little bit of concern for that. That's probably why.
Oh, wow.
But do they take questions from the audience? Do they introduce the movie? What do they do?
Well, Jennifer Aniston ended up introducing Cake. But at these other ones, there were no questions. There was no introduction by Jessica Chastain.
But they stay for the screening?
They were still there afterwards, but I don't think they were watching the movie. I think they went up to the bar or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably a good bet.
Sure. She's seen this a million times.
Got it. All right. So that's basically what those are all about. And there are luncheons too. A lot of them happen over luncheons. There's a luncheon where there's a screening and then a Q&A and a panel with the stars. And that's considered to be sort of a big get. It's a very political thing.
A get for the star?
A get for whoever hosts the event. Yeah. Now, in case you're wondering how much all this costs, these are campaigns that cost a lot of money. These Oscar campaigns are not free. They are millions of dollars. For example, I fielded estimates ranging from $3 million to $25 million for a single Oscar campaign.
Oh my gosh.
Sometimes the Oscar campaign budgets are merged together with a theatrical advertising budget. So the total cost, say, Dreamgirls back in the day for theaters and Oscars was reported $35 million. All right. The stars even are shelling out during Oscar campaign season.
Personal money.
Their monthly publicity budget goes up briefly. It's only for like 2 months, but it may go up from, say, $5,000 a month to $10,000 because the publicist is doing double right now. That publicist that was buzzing around Jessica Chastain, that's probably overtime.
Oh, wow.
Not literally overtime, but you get what I'm saying.
So there's no super PACs for celebrities campaigning for Oscar triumph.
Oh, you're adorable. As for where the big money goes, I hear the fattest singular cost is probably those fancy for your consideration ads. They can be like $30,000.
Dang.
Right. And then there are the private screenings. Remember those private screenings that you went to?
Uh-huh.
The venue, that fancy venue that you want so desperately to be a part of, it probably charged for the space.
Oh, wow.
And that might be $3,000 right there.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, of course, there's travel. You put up the film's talent at the Four Seasons for $450 a night. You're paying the stylist to pull wardrobe for the actors on the campaign trail, which is $1,500 to $10,000 a day.
My God.
Feeding the actress, assuming she eats, hiring a car and driver. See my earlier comments. You get the idea. In other words, Oscar does not come cheap.
Wow.
So remember that when you see someone getting up there, accepting their Oscar, there's a reason why they're always thanking their publicists. Because the publicist is the one that's organizing all this along with the studio.
Wow.
So there is really, in recent memory, no film or actor or actress who has gotten an Oscar without a lot of money going behind that award.
Mm.
There are very few Oscars out there who've been awarded where there's been no budget for a campaign. It's a lot like a presidential campaign. No one gets to be president unless you have a lot of money.
Right.
No one gets an Oscar unless the people behind her have a lot of money. Keep that in mind. It's not about the best actress at all, really.
Right.
It is about who runs the best campaign.
Yeah.
All right. Now, it's also an investment. An Oscar can turn like a half a million a picture actor into a million a picture actor.
Wow.
So.
Yeah. I wonder for how long.
That's a really good question. I mean, Jolie has been a 10 million a picture actress on the high end, like when she's not doing an indie.
Right.
For a while. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't think anybody's paying Marissa Tomei that anymore. And she won an actor, like an actor. She won an Oscar way back in the day.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Kristen Stewart for a second.
Yes, please.
In the new segment, I think that's what I'm going to call it. The, oh God, Kristen Stewart, what the hell are you talking about now?
I love it.
Let's get to her for a second. She recently did an interview with Loaded Magazine. She said, actors, and I'm quoting, actors become so isolated. It's like people aren't allowed to talk to us. Like if you're a big star or whatever, if you're like a famous person, it's kind of lonely. Like people don't want to talk to you, close quote. And of course, Jezebel jumped all over this.
I can't wait.
What do you make of that quote before I get on this? Don't look at my notes.
I'm not. What do I make of that quote? I mean, sounds like to Kristen Stewart, but I actually got to say, I think I've told this story before. Years ago, when Glee first started, I was at a Christmas party at a friend's home, and Chris Colfer was there, and so was that very heavy girl. I don't watch Glee, but you know they ended up having a really heavy girl, they were both there, and no one talked to them all night long because everyone was so afraid that, like, oh gosh, you're just going to think I'm talking to you because you're famous. And then no one talked to them. So
Invited them? I mean, was anybody there introducing them?
Well, I think they, like, whoever invited them, I'm sure, spoke to them, but they weren't going around and introducing them, as, oh, hey, this is my friend, blah, blah, blah. So I suppose that some of the onus is on that mutual friend. But I know that my friends and I certainly were like, oh, I mean, it's like not starstruck, more like I'm not starstruck. So I don't want you to think that I'm that person. And then I become the person that does not say hello.
Let me ask you a question, though.
Mm-hmm.
You're at a party.
Yes.
Theoretically. Mm-hmm. You see two people who look like Chris Colfer and that other person.
Uh-huh.
But they're not, like, they're not famous. They just are, like, this is, like, in an alternate universe where there's, like, a bizarro Chris Colfer. And Chris Colfer is not famous and has never been in anything.
Uh-huh.
Okay? But he's just there with another friend. And, like, they're just standing off in a corner not talking to them. Talking to anybody. Why would you go up and talk to them?
Me personally, because I talk to everybody.
You literally talk to everybody at a party. That is bullshit. You do not talk to everybody at a party. No, you don't. Why would you go up to two strange people that you don't know at a party and start speaking unto them? Why do you do that? Unless you want to have sex with them. Why would you go up to somebody like that? Why would you do that?
Well, if my group I was chatting with was adjacent to them and we happened to catch eyes as I turned around,
That's like an amoeba thing where you're pulling somebody in. I've seen the amoeba before. I'm not talking about party amoebaism. I'm talking about they're over there on the other side of the room.
Uh-huh.
Why would you go talk to them?
I guess I wouldn't. If they appeared to be antisocial and not desiring of communication, I probably would not go out.
Or what if they're just out facing the room looking around?
Well, then I would definitely say hello.
You would. You would walk right up to them and say hello.
I am a unique case.
Do you think most people would do that?
I do not.
Right. Because I don't know those people. I mean, if I had heard that maybe they were doing something interesting, or we had a friend of a friend in common, I might go up to the host and say, oh, is that friend of the friend you were talking about? The one who makes gingerbread houses or whatever they do for a living? Well, oh yeah, introduce me. That might be something I do.
Right.
But if I just see a random person at a party and I don't know them, why would I do that? The whole world is not one big Tinder for me. I don't walk up to people I have no reason to do that.
Okay.
But I'm getting ahead of myself. At face value, that quote may seem like nothing special.
Right.
The Kristen Stewart quote. Mm-hmm. You may interpret that statement to mean that people are intimidated by a big star, like you said. And boy, is that sad for poor lonely Case too. Except if you think that way, you're forgetting a major factor of life in Hollywood.
What's that?
Many, many times, the reason why ordinary people do not talk to stars is because those ordinary people who have cause to come into contact with stars every day are literally forbidden to speak with them.
Oh.
Drivers are a great example. I cannot tell you the number of times I've been told by drivers themselves, by people who work with celebrity drivers, that as part of their contract, they must agree not to speak to the stars in their back seats until spoken to first.
Wow.
Film sets. The crew, hair and makeup people, etc. It's either implicit or explicitly ordered not to talk to the talent unless spoken to first in many cases.
My God, you can't even say hello?
You can say hello, but you can't be like, oh my God, would you get your coffee? Like you just...
Okay.
And I have a feeling that Case Stu knows that. She right. knows that. Yeah, she has been in this business since she was, before she was a teenager. Even if she herself has never given this order, even if none of her people have ever given this order... And I have my doubts about that.
Heard that, yeah.
She has been in this business long enough to know how the game works. She knows that. So is she talking about nobody coming up to her at a party? Why is she at a party by herself? Right. Is she talking about at a bar? Why is she at a bar by herself?
Right.
Where what is she what is she talking about? I have another theory too. Work with me on this one.
Yeah.
Most people out there are not Baby Vegas, ladies and gentlemen.
That's
like
true.
I said, they do not just see random people in coffee houses or waiting for cars outside of hotel lobbies and just strike up conversations. If I don't know someone, I do not do that. Does she not know that about normal people? That out here in the normal, non-famous world, people just don't walk up to other people. It's not like a big freaking Smurf village where you just walk up to people and are like, I heard that you had the Smurfberry Smurf festivals yesterday, Smurf. I don't know you. I have no desire to get to know you for no reason. I am full up on friends at the moment and will not have any openings until someone dies. And maybe that's another thing the Case Stu doesn't understand. Like, really? Like, does she not remember what it's like to be...
No, because she was never a normal person.
And let me ask you this, Case Stu. Do you walk up to random people and talk to them?
Heck no.
I'm wondering, like, when you see people at a party, do you walk up to them and say, hi, I'm Kristen Stewart? Why not? And I would ask the same question about your encounter with Chris Colfer. Why were they not walking up to people and introducing themselves?
Right. Absolutely.
Why do they need to come talk to her?
Do you think that we're just going to be like, oh my God, you're Chris Colfer. So you think that I want to talk to you just because you're on Glee? I don't want to talk to you.
If he wanted to come talk to somebody, he would just go talk to somebody. That's you waiting true. For exactly? Why do people need to approach unto you?
Right.
And I'm going to leave this episode with a really good anecdote.
Please.
She could take a few lessons. She could take a few lessons mm-hmm. from Faye Dunaway.
Oh.
I've told my Faye Dunaway story a million times, right?
This
was back when there were still video stores. Mm-hmm. Late 90s, okay?
What's a what?
Shut up. And I was standing in line with my boyfriend, now husband, and like two or three people ahead of us was Faye Dunaway standing in line to get a video. And you could tell everybody was in awe because it's Faye bleeping Dunaway. And she could feel it in the room. And so she turned around, flipped her hair and said, okay, now what did you guys get? What did you guys get? What did you guys get? And you know what, K-Stu? If you want to find out what I got, ask me.
Yeah, K-Stu, take a page, girl.
Take a page. What is it that you want? What do you want? And I got to tell you, people out there, mm-hmm. I'm not talking to any of you. It's not just K-Stu. I'm not talking to any of you. I got a man. That's all sewn up. I got my family all sewn up. I've got a mom already. Mm-hmm. I got co-stars already. I got baby Vegas. I got a cat. I'm not in the market.
It wasn't easy, listeners, in case, Stu. I had to work hard to be this friend.
Speaking of friends.
Uh-huh. Wait, I have one more question.
Oh, go ahead.
Do you remember what Faye Dunaway was renting?
No, I don't.
And oh my God, she rented a movie? Wow.
But I don't remember what I was renting either. And I'm more into myself than I am into Faye Dunaway. Now, this has been another edition of my show. Do you want a copy of my book in which I dish exactly how celebrities live?
Yes, you do.
You can reach me on my Facebook page. Ask me the following question. Is blank the same when you're a celebrity? If I like your question, I'll send you a free autographed copy of my book. If you want to say anything else, here's how to reach me. Baby Vegas, go.
Great. New podcast every Tuesday at thefamefatale.com.
Right.
Tweet at Fame Fatale Says.
Right.
And write the new old-fashioned way email, Leslie, at thefamefatale.com.
I'm also on Instagram and Tumblr, although I don't know why. How do people reach you?
What are your Instagrams and Tumblrs? Fame Fatale?
Fame Fatale Says is my Instagram.
Perfect.
Tumblr, I don't know. I don't care.
You can find me on Twitter at Baby Vegas with a Z, also my Instagram handle, or you can now follow me on Facebook as JJ Winkers.
Isn't that nice? Isn't that old school?
So old school, huh? Vintage.
Thank you all so much for listening. We will see you next week.